WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into the summer weeks here. We got the Orioles at home all week and the Ravens taking a little nap. We're going to be enjoying a crab cake. Imagine that. We're going to be at Fadley's on Thursday morning. Maybe the last time in the old market. Every time I go, I say maybe, but I've seen the new stall in the new market about to open. We're going to be giving these away. They are scratch-offs in the Maryland Lottery. Throwbacks to the 50th anniversary scratch-offs. We've had some winners. We were at Spirits West over Wilkins Avenue last week. Had an unbelievable conversation about rock and roll and running backs with NFL agent Chad Wiesling as part of our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's also brought to you by friends at Window Nation, 866-90 Nation. You buy two, you get two free, 0% financing for 2 years at Window Nation, 866-90 Nation. The entire Crab Cake Tour schedule now playing out through the summer. I'm going to be here all of July, all of August. We're doing some oysters. We're doing our 25th anniversary down at Costas on August 3rd and Drug City on August 4th. I am hoping, if he's not down at the beach, to rope this guy into coming out. And you're sort of new school. I'm hoping this Costas Drug City thing, I'm going to find people listening back in the 90s, bringing me old Get Nasty shirts. I've had a whole bunch of stuff happening here the last couple of weeks to make this anniversary better than ever. Leonard Raskin's been sponsoring us for a period of time. You can find him at Raskin Globe. You can find him at Baltimore Positive. And you might find him in Dundalk with me on August 3rd and 4th. But when did you discover, how long have you been listening to this crazy radio station now that we've been doing it 24 years and 10 and a half months?
I don't think that long. I would say, wow, the Ravens been around, what, 27
years.
27. And probably, when did we move to M&T, to PSI Net? 98. 98. So probably right around the early 2000s, I think.
I wasn't one of the guys talking you into buying the PSL.
No.
Yeah,
no,
you did that on your own. Okay.
I had money in with the Stadium Authority when the Stallions were playing and we watched the Grey Cup.
So you were an original Give Baltimore the Ball kind of guy.
Yes.
Thinking if they brought a team here in 1995, a very young, spry Leonard Raskin would have a whole lifetime to enjoy
watching football.
And maybe there'd be a
son someday.
And maybe he'd go to Ohio State and want to play in
the
game. You know,
maybe.
But like, it is amazing that your kid has my kid has a very strong, he was 10 years old when the Ravens came here, 11 years old. He remembers it vividly. But for anybody younger,
yeah,
the Ravens
just our team. That's all. Yeah. And he's been on the road trip with us. He's been to Indy. He's been to London. So we started doing the trips. And I guess, you know, the first one was Tampa. You know, that's when we really struck, because I was down there in Ybor. I got close.
Ybor was in a laboratory with young Frankenstein.
Ybor City. That's, I think, when we first really met. We were hanging out at a bar watching the Terps.
2001.
Watching the Terps
take a
bad ending against Duke. And I was thinking, all I could think was, it's a bad foreshadowing for our Ravens. But obviously, A had nothing to do with B.
I watched that game, and I came out of the West Shore Hyatt that night down.
Yep.
And I ran into Tommy Shaw from Styx. And I have all of my Kakua nuts on and all of my purple beads that they gave me at the Gasparilla in Tampa.
Right, so, the Gasparilla. There you go.
Well, this is what I'm doing. So I'm celebrating 25 years on August 3rd. My wife's like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit at Costas, and thankfully, you gave me this incredible crab mouth. I haven't used it yet. You can see it's not beer stained or crab soaked in any way.
Crab crusted.
It's going to be. But I said to her, I'm going to sit at Costas from like noon until 5 on the 3rd. And then the 4th, I'm going to sit at Drug City because they have milkshakes and good food and beer. And I figure I'll just sit in Dundalk and make people like you come to Dundalk if you want to hang out, tell some stories, bring some swag, you know. I mean, that Tampa thing, as long as it didn't cost you your marriage, Leonard, the Super Bowl 35, then
no,
everything else is
cost
good, right?
Cost me a living room. We've had that conversation. It cost me a living room, but that's all right. So just a quick aside, I just want to share. We were down at the Hippodrome a couple weeks ago. We had talked about, you know, the Baltimore going ons for the weekends. And it just hit my mind when you were talking earlier about the about Fadley's. And as we left the Hippodrome, you know, driving out the road there, my son we've talked about, the boy who is 21, said to me, I've never been to Lexington Market. 21. Right. And I said, really? And I know I haven't taken him there.
What's your fault? Makes sense.
Right. I said, I haven't taken him there. So I said, well, wow, that's really wild. We'll have to go there. We'll have to go and check it out. And now it's the new market. So the old market is...
The old market is still, Fadley's is still a part of the old market. It's still in the, where it was. It's
right.
about to move 100 yards
saying,
into the new.
But I'm
but
saying.
But the new market's beautiful. You should check
it out. It's beautiful.
It
I've been there. I've
oh,
already
have?
Been
okay.
there.
You
but he hasn't been
okay.
to either one. So I said, well, we got to go to Lexington Market.
Is he back for the summer? What's going on
he
with
is.
The kid?
He is home
right,
for the
so
summer.
So look, you have a phenom with the Cincinnati Reds in Ellie De La Cruz.
Oh, boy. How about that?
So if you're talking about seeing Ohtani or any of these guys,
this kid's
here, and he won't be here next year, right? Because they play every other year now.
He's a speed demon. This kid's something.
Use it or lose it if you want to go see him.
Right.
And this is a perfect chance for you to go to Fadley's. You go to Fadley's before
you
go to the Oriole game.
There
perfect.
You go.
You do it all.
That's it. I think we got it. Three-day series, I think. Three-day series.
Yeah,
and they're playing,
yeah.
They're playing good ball. The Reds
well,
are playing good
this
ball.
Is where the rubber meets the road. And I talked to Luke about this because Luke's going on vacation next week because that's his thing. He goes 4th of July every single year with his family down to Wildwood. And I saw the crowd on Sunday. And I snuck off to New York on Friday and Saturday to see Mike Peters from The Alarm. Very
right.
special guy to me. Had an amazing time. Came back, saw The Cure Sunday night with a bunch of friends. So I'm like,
should have gone
Monday
to that
morning.
Show.
I'm worn out, right? Like,
should have gone
the
to
Cure
The Cure.
Was unbelievable, Leonard.
I'm
they were
sorry
unbelievable.
I missed that show.
So I've had this weekend of 80s music, two of my favorite bands that mean a lot to me. I wake up on Monday and I'm like, Heritage Fair this week. The holiday's weird because it's in the middle of the week. We don't really know when to celebrate. Nobody knows when they're off. Am I off Monday? Am I off Tuesday? Am I taking the whole week off? What are we doing? So there's this lull, and the Ravens are like waiting there a month from now. And in the meantime, it's like, summer, the Orioles are good. They're home all week. If there's a chance to go down there and buy a $10 ticket on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, you bring
there
your
you
kid,
go
to Fadley's.
Yep.
This is a great time. And I was talking to Luke about this because the crowd Sunday, I looked at it. I'm like, is what they're doing working or is it not? Are they buying billboards? Are they getting the people? Or they getting people like you and me that are fence sitters? Dennis is also that guy where we'd like to go. We love baseball.
Yeah.
We just need somebody to give us a boot in the backside to go down there. Maybe the right weather. It's not a rainy night or a forecast for a thunderstorm. So what I'm full disclosure. I mean, I don't know what's going to get me there. What gets you to an Oriole game with your kid in the next, is it a bobble? It's not, you're not a freebie.
No.
You don't give a kid.
No.
You don't care about that. What gets you to an Oriole game?
Yeah. Just a free schedule.
Okay.
The good news is, it's not sold out yet. So that means during the day on a Tuesday when the weather's beautiful and it's going to be nice evening and they're playing a game, it's, hey, why don't we go down to the game tonight?
It's literally a game time decision for
you.
It's
why don't we go down to the game? Now, we did plan Ohtani. I wanted to see him play, went to see him pitch. Amazing. Amazing.
I saw
amazing.
John Wait that night. I'm not going to like say that I
no,
made
I
a mistake because I didn't.
I get it. No, I mean, that was incredible. And to look now, clearly the number one vote getter for the All-Star game and leads his team and the world right now. I mean, my goodness, this guy, I don't think it's surely never been done, but we could see an MVP Cy Young season. You could see a guy lead the league in home runs, RBIs, and ERA.
And win the Cy Young.
Right. I mean, just unbelievable to watch. So that's the thing. It's just a let's go. And then this De La Cruz kid, right? I mean, hit for the cycle in his 15th game in the major leagues.
What he's doing is just, he doesn't even have, he's got 70 at-bats in the big leagues, right?
Yeah, he doesn't even know what's going on yet.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't even have 100 major league at bats, and
they haven't lost.
Someone
have they lost since he came up? I don't think.
Well, I said
lost.
To, well, right, never first place. I said to my wife, I'm like, this kid's here for a couple of days. We got to skip yoga class at one. We got to go see him play. I think, right? Like,
he's
become that guy, and he doesn't have 100 at bats yet. It's insane.
Well, they've already put him in the Hall of Fame.
Well, when, you know, they can't put Pete Rose in. So there's my Ezra.
Right. Well, there you go. You got to put some Reds in there.
That's my kick in the nuts for them.
Look, they haven't played well at all. And then suddenly you get a hot streak and you're in first place. So it's time for the O's to stand up.
Isn't it weird that we don't care about Cincinnati at all, but like they're in our football division. But like, have you been to Cincinnati?
Yes. Lots.
Most people have not been to Cincinnati.
Well, I have a company that I do a lot of business with that is headquartered there, just outside of the city. And I've been there in the last 15 years, probably 50 times. So yeah,
it is a baseball town.
I've been to the stadium. I've been to the stadiums. I've seen games. The baseball park, the ballpark there is lovely. It's really great. One of the things I really like, you go out to get a dog and you can watch the game from the concourse. It's all kind of open. Have you been there for this?
Yeah.
It's an open bowl and you can be out on the concourse and watch the game from the concourse while you're walking to get your dog. It's a good feel. It's a beautiful park and I've seen a couple games there. It's really nice. And I've been to the Bengals games too. And unfortunately haven't seen us win in Cincinnati since I've been there. So.
People laugh at me. I think the Cincinnati football stadium is beautiful. I think it was done. It's well appointed. It's on the water.
Right
and
place.
The baseball stadium's right down the street.
Yep.
In between is where they have built a bunch of, it's corporate bars, but but it's bars along the waterway there. Big, beautiful. It's there. Harbor Place kind
absolutely,
of sort of
absolutely.
For what the city is. And on 81 Reds nights, I went there in 15 on the tour. It was Dollar Dog night.
Yep.
It was a Friday night. They were giving away a bobblehead of somebody that wasn't so special. It was just like a second baseman or something. But I was down there early because we were swabbing we swabbed hundreds of people that night. My buddy Marty McGee from the Daily Racing Forum was there because he lives in Lexington. He came.
Yeah.
Over. And we had a beautiful night there. Speaks to the Orioles a little bit, right? This was 8 years ago. Boy, the Reds were terrible. They've been terrible forever in that division where, if you win 85 games, you can win that division a lot of years, right?
Yep.
Other than the Cubs and the Cardinals, a couple special years they've had. And they're not like playing the Yankees and the Red Sox. They're not in that division.
No.
They've just been awful. And the Bengals have been awful. And I went in 15 and this was my thought about my memory of being there, other than the Dollar Dogs and all that stuff. There were just a lot of fans there. Like,
oh yeah.
And I'm like, man, it's Friday night.
It's not
this
really a
fair
weather town. It's not,
they go to
it's
the
not
games.
A fair
really
weather
do.
Town. Yeah. They support their teams. They are there. There is no doubt about it. The Bengals, the place was packed and this was way before Joe Burrow. I don't even know
who
was.
But this is the first time the Reds have had prosperity, like the Orioles.
Yeah,
I mean, the Orioles have had two spells of prosperity since Angelos bought the team in 31 years, right?
Yep.
So, and the Reds, when I think of the last 31 years, I mean, think of Reds. Oh, man, that was 40 years ago now. We're going way back.
I don't know how long she's been out of there, but they got rid of her. I just know that.
Well, 30 years ago, they got rid of her. It might have been the Nazi stuff she had in her drawer and
idiot she was.
But for the Reds and the Orioles, I think of these towns as being sort of similar. But the Reds playing baseball like this has created a firestorm in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't think it's going to be people here because
what else is really crazy about it? This is just my subjective view. I've not done a study. It seems to me the national media, as I tune in every now and then to an ESPN or a Fox Sports or whatever, is very enamored with the Reds winning, much more so than they are with the Orioles winning. and they don't give a darn. They don't give a darn. This is really crazy. I think the Rays are the fifth or sixth or tenth story on the broadcast. Nobody cares that the Rays are in first place. That would they bring it in 5,000 people, 10,000 people a night to that stadium, something. I mean, my goodness.
Well, last week they were like, man, Oriole fans have taken over. I heard Brett Hollander say that on the air. And for the media side of what Masson's doing, and now they're hiring Lock and Fora and like trying the Masson broadcast when you can find them. I mean, Masson one, we went through that last week. They're very, they're not just cheerleadery. They're almost, they remind me of the old WW WF back in the 80s. We talked about where the whole gig is to get you to the ballpark, right? Like, sure. Look at how good the food is. Look at how pretty the girls. Look at how cute the kids are. Look at how much, how wet they are out in the
right, go to the splash zone. Zone, the splash right. zone.
And
that
the
is
whole
nuts.
Thing is a 9-inning Rob Long. Oh, yeah, the food's great. You know, like all of that. And I'm like, the whole thing is a come on to go to the game, and I'm trying to figure out when they're going to suck me in. You know what I mean? Like, and how effective it's been when I put Sunday on and there weren't a lot of people there. And I'm thinking,
coming up,
is this a bobblehead night? Is it an Ellie De La Cruz thing? Is it see the Reds? Is it just jam the park on Shaquille O'Neal night? Right.
Right. I heard Shaquille O'Neal is a DJ now. I did not know this.
Shaq Diesel.
I thought he was a basketball player.
No, he's a former basketball player.
I know that. And a businessman of mass proportion, but obviously he's now a mass proportion DJ as well. And he does some kind of DJ show, which is kind of weird to me.
Well, I saw Tiesto many years ago at the Super Bowl. It was one of the greatest nights of my life. I went with Chad Brown, the old football player from the Steelers, who's more of a metal guy, much more of a Metallica kind of myself.
Sure,
and I dragged him to this dance thing at the Super Bowl. Julio was involved, obviously, get the stretch. So we go to this little place. Joe Montana's family runs the bar. It's this little row house. And Tiesto comes on, and it was like one of my parties over on Kane Street back in the 80s. It was woo, 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 woo. It was just this ravey thing. And I'm thinking, Shaq must have gone to one of those and hip-hop
said he likes
been in the club and said, you know, I was the center of attention with the Lakers and with the Magic. I should be a DJ. So he's going to, all 7 foot one, I'm going to show up.
What I heard is... I think I heard this, if I heard it right, the first 30,000 adults get like the floppy hat and then Shaq. So you figure 30,000 people are coming out to hear Shaq. I guess maybe, I don't know. I guess he might be
a
draw.
Would you leave early or would you stay and watch Shaq? What would you do?
Oh, if I was going to the game, I would stay because that would be like, what the heck is this?
Yeah, it's kind of like.
I wouldn't pay for the field pass. Maybe that would be a mistake in hindsight after, but
well, you can
but I want to see.
Seat.
Yeah, I want to see what the heck Shaq is doing as a DJ. That throws me a bit.
Well, when I say what are they doing to sell tickets, I'm answering my own question.
There
right?
it is.
Like, there are
floppy
eight
hat.
Games. Well, it's kind of like minor league soccer, right? Like or right. hockey. You would say, Tuesday night against Fredericton, we're only going to have 2,000 people, but let's make Friday a good night. Let's give something away.
Yep.
Let's make a B night an A night, and let's not try to turn a C night into a B night, right?
Right.
So that's what. And that's great.
Total attendance, I guess, is what matters, right?
But if I were in their offices with geniuses like TJ Brightman and we were trying to figure out how we're doing it, what we would say is this. If on Friday night we can give away hats and have Shaquille O'Neal here and legitimately get 40 some odd thousand, like a sellout or something where we have to open the left field upper deck seats that Nestor walked out of back in 06 and Free the Birds. I find it funny they don't sell the tickets that we use for Free the Birds. A little weird.
Yeah.
But, and it's always wide open, empty, and it's not a good visual in that way. But nonetheless, if they sell the place out and everybody has a great time and Batista shuts the door, that really is the entree to come back on a Tuesday to see the Reds
play. You
got to
come back. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Once you have a great experience, that's what it's all about. You got to have a great experience that drives people back to have another great experience. And, they're trying. And that's why
they're doing
it.
I really do. Because, like, there's nothing that could be better for the city than them getting well again. And, like, legitimately, next year, they go to the ALCS, they lose, whatever. But next year, that 19,000 on Sunday is 35 because, like, people want to be there on an 80-degree day. Might have been a little warm or whatever. But I've seen it in this city. I grew up in it in this city. You
the
grew
fans
up in
will,
it.
If they do it, the fans will come. But they got to make it a first-rate experience. And we were down there. It was average.
Okay.
We were in the club seats even, and it was an average experience. The game was great. I mean, it was a great game, and it was fine. But
what made it average?
The concessions were slow. They weren't very. Hey, this is on the club level.
Okay,
there wasn't you had to walk a long way to get great variety. There's no longer food in the seats in the club level, which is something I remember. You could order and they'd bring you your dinner, so you didn't have to leave your seats to watch, stop watching the game. They've stopped that. It was just barren. The club level was pretty barren, and it wasn't super. So we had a great time. Just, you know, it took a while.
But for what they're going to try to charge against the Wizards, the Capitals, the Ravens, the Cure, I was on the sky deck at the Cure the other night. I mean, like the total VIP thing that people want. I think with the Orioles, all I want is a cheap ticket and the chance to see good baseball. But I'm a baseball fan. I'm not there for the beer. I'm not there for the girls. I'm not there for the bird. I'm not there to run the bases. Same. I'm not there for the shell game or the crab game or the video game. I'm not there for any of that. Maybe Home Run Riches, because a lot of sponsors me. A little plug there. But I would just say for me, what I've waited for is this experience of integrity and quality and value and for my time.
They're delivering that on the baseball diamond for sure.
Well, that's why we're here talking about him in June.
I don't think there's any question.
Exactly. You and I last June, we're not talking about that.
We're not talking. No, I agree 100%.
And we're not talking about Ellie De La Cruz and how many people they're getting and what night we're going to get the floppy at. These are all really good problems for WNST, for WBAL, for the city, for hotels, for the future of the next couple of years of thinking what this can be. But I'm measuring it along the way. I mean, they called up Jordan Westberg this week, right? So they're calling up young players.
Who'd they send out for that?
Well, I mean, at some point, we're going to figure out what's going to happen with Frazier and Mateo in regard to starting, right? Like, Henderson's going to be the shortstop, I guess. Westberg, I guess, is going to play third. I guess Frazier's going to wait it out. But Frazier and Mateo don't get on base enough. Yeah. And they're going to hit they got outfielders. They're going to have Cowser coming in. Now they got Hicks with Mullins. I mean, these are good problems. They're going to have Means coming back. Rodriguez is going to want to pitch.
This is not a bad thing. This is a very good thing for the team. And like you said, I think it's a great thing for the city. And it starts right there. Drawing people in that are going to hang out and spend money in the city before, during, and after the game. It's all good for the economy. It's great for the city. And maybe things start to turn around and it begets a better opportunity. Did I see Joan Jett? Joan Jett came back to an Oriole game.
She was in Tampa.
was in Tampa.
Yeah, she and Brian Adams were playing down there, and she took her off day and went to the game.
Went to
CDOs. I think that's awesome. You know what's really weird about that, Leonard? Since and this isn't even about like social media or whatever. The day that she showed up, I put my picture of me and her up. I'm wearing my Towson University gear. It was over at Carroll Park at one of Paul Manna's concerts before he did the trifecta. This is about 7-8 years ago. I took this picture with Joan Jett. And since I put that picture up, I went to State Fair that day for lunch. She's on the wall there. There's a big artwork. Then on my Facebook, the woman that does the salt boxes, Juliet, who does the salt box art, she has a salt box art of Joan Jett in an Oriole jacket. I want it for my wall. Like, it's killer. And then I was in New York at the former CBGB's, which is now the John Varvatos. Well, John Varvatos is a rock and roll, like, fashion leathery, like all the guys in the Black Crowes, like Tom Petty when he died, like that look he had about his gear, retro throwback, almost that from the video Don't Come Around Here No More with the teacups and all that stuff. Varvatos has this rock and roll store that's in the space where CBGB's was. So it's right on Canal. It's Canal. So I go into the store and it's a rock and roll. You know, there's a drum kit, there's Bad Company stuff. I look up on the wall and there's Joan Jett looking at me. And I'm thinking, that's like five Joan Jetts in the last 5 days.
Top of the mind. That's top of the mind.
Myself for loving her, you know?
Right. It's one of those psychological things when you're ready to buy the new car and you see it everywhere.
Well, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts everywhere. Leonard Raskin's everywhere, including on my crab claw. We're going to be I'm going to wait till August 3rd. I'm going to commemorate my 25th anniversary with this. Leonard, I've come up with ideas this week. I had John Martin on last week. He asked me, he made a very foul, like, he's from Ohio, so I have to give him the break. He's never had peach cake. So we talked about peach cake coming out this week.
Yep.
So what I've decided to do for my 25th anniversary at Costas, invite you, but I'm going to have peach cake. I'm going to get my friends from Wise Markets to get me some gold watermelon, because a lot of people have never had gold watermelon.
There you go.
I find this out. So I'm going to share peach cake and gold, because they're two of my favorite things. It's on my 25th anniversary with crabs.
Yep.
And between now and then, it's my 25th anniversary, so I'm thinking about, I'm getting older and stuff like that. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about summertime. My mother's, the anniversary, I should say, my mother's death's coming up. I've talked to you many times about not being prepared for a 98-year-old woman to die, not the way I should have been. Had I known you a little bit more before, there were tax, property, things, wills, stuff that happened.
Yeah.
I want to give you some options, because I know you wanted to talk about it this week, because it's important. It's summertime. People get faded away on things, and you're like, hey, if you don't have a will, you don't have this stuff, let's get this together. So I want to give you some oxygen for that, Leonard.
Beautiful, beautiful. So I'll tell you, we've sadly had a couple clients in the last year pass, and we've also had a number of clients, very sadly, have some illnesses that appear to be terminal, not imminent, but terminal. And one of the things, when we work with somebody all the time, not just in these circumstances, all the time, we make sure that the estate documents, the essential legal documents of your affairs, are in order. And what is that? It's a power of attorney that says, if you can't act on your own behalf financially and legally, who steps in and does that for you? It's medical power of attorney. If you can't act on your own behalf, who signs and makes sure that the doctors are treating you the way you want to be treated and acting in your best interest relative to your health care? And then the end result of that, of course, sadly, is a living will. That is, you're terminal. The doctor says, you know, he's not going to make it. She's not going to make it. Who decides on your behalf when it's enough, when to stop the artificial feeding and respiration, and when you don't, if you want that, and if you don't, and when to start it, when to stop it. And then you're gone. And what do you want to have happen? You know, we call it when your will matured. So when your will matures, do you have a will? If not, a lot of people, when I ask them, you know, what do you think happens? They say, oh, the state takes my money. The state does not take your money. State never takes your money. But your money does go according to a will that the state determines. So whether you have these documents, power of attorney, living will, medical directives, or a last will and testament, you do. The state that you live in, for most of the people probably listening, although I don't know everybody, but in Maryland, the state determines who gets your money, who takes care of you, who determines life or death. And you don't want the state determining these things. And it's the worst time possible for your family to have to deal with the orphans court and lawyers and judges to make these decisions. So these are documents we make sure everybody has. They're A, current, and they have your wishes in them, and B, signed and witnessed properly so that they're executed properly. And third, in the hands of those that need to know what these things are, what you wanted and what your wishes are. And I was with a guy just last week, and he said, you know, there's families he knows that, because we talked about our kids, and there are families that he knows where the kids have never talked to the parents about money. And there are families he knows where the adult children, our age, have never talked to their parents about money. Don't know what the parents have. Don't know who their advisors are. Don't know who to call if something
happens. It's
funny
you would mention this, because my wife and I talked about this, because she has parents and I don't, right?
Yep.
And that you, this conversation you're having, I had with my wife, I swear, 2 hours ago over coffee. It was just sort of like, hey, I need to check with my mom and dad. And, you know, her parents are in their 70s.
Yep.
You know, obviously we're in our 50s, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
thinking like,
what happens?
My mother's been dead and I still haven't had that talk with her.
Yeah, there
right?
you go.
Right.
There you go. What happens? What happens? Who's in charge? Is that the right person? What do you want? You know, that.
Boy, these are medical, tough. These aren't things you
these are,
call your
no,
mom on a
these
Tuesday
are hard.
And say, hey, mom, let's talk about this.
These
right?
are hard conversations. Yeah. You know, I sat down with my mother and this is what I do. And I sat down with my mother and we had a conversation and said, what do you want? If this happens, what do you want? And we know